Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry.
I want to start out this podcast by just saying how awesome I think couch surfing is. I first joined the site in 2005, and I guess I've used it on and off over the years. I've gone a few years without using it, but I'm back to doing it again, and it's just such a valuable resource for me and for many people. In case you don't know what couch surfing is, it's when you go traveling, instead of staying in a hotel, which, let's be honest, when you stay in a nice hotel, okay, you get some luxuries, some comforts, great. Maybe you don't have a hot tub at home or whatever. Maybe you get some nice stuff. Cool, but are you learning about the place you're in? Not usually, not so much. Maybe you have a cool, like a chat with the owner, especially if you stay in an independent hotel, but even that's pretty rare. But with couchsurfing, you stay with somebody who lives there in their house. Ideally, it's a local to that place. And like, for instance, right now, I live in Hong Kong and I'm hosting people right now. I'm not from Hong Kong, though. I've only been here for less than a year, so I don't know that much about it. But at least I know some stuff. So when I host people here, I'll take them out hiking or just whatever I'm interested in and they want to do. And when I go stay in other people's houses, when I travel, I'll usually stay with someone who's from there. And then they can show me, instead of just saying like, oh, what do you do in Paris? Oh, let's go to the Eiffel Tower. Okay, instead of just doing these normal tourist traps type things, the locals can really show you their city as they know it, as most tourists never see it. And even beyond the travel stuff, I've gone and stayed in places where my hosts will say, tonight I'm going to go out for a beer with my friends. You want to join us? And it's awesome. It's just, I'm just one of the guys then. And it's such a great way to see the world, to experience new places. And it's really all about the people, though, all about the people that you meet. Which brings us to today. I guess the big thing with couchsurfing for me is that the people I meet, the only thing I have in common with them, well, okay, we're all human beings, and that gives us a lot in common to begin with. But beyond the stuff that everybody shares in common, the only other commonality is that we're all travelers. We all like to travel. But that can mean so many different things to so many different people. I mean, once I remember we were doing a couch crash in Madison years ago, and one guy, he didn't want to stay with, he didn't want to actually couch surf, stay in somebody's house. He was well off financially. He was retired, and he just wanted to stay in a hotel. Fine. But then during the day, he came out and hung out with all the people, and he was a lot of fun. He was a really great guy. Okay, so that's your kind of high-end traveler who can use couch surfing. But then you've got the normal travelers, too, who maybe do stay in hotels normally, but not always. Every now and then, they'll couch surf. There's lower-end travelers like me. I guess I consider myself to be a pretty cheap traveler, and probably most people who know me consider me to be very, very, very cheap. But I think your attitude toward that might change after today. So I'm cheap, and I'll stay in people's houses couch surfing. And Katie's about the same as me, too, as far as the money we spend while we travel. If you just go on that scale, yeah, we'll stay in people's houses. We'll stay in dorms. I mean, I'm 41 years old, but I still like to stay in dorm rooms and hostels because hostels are awesome. You get to learn all kinds of things about the place and about the places nearby and meet other travelers. It's another great experience while you travel and quite cheap as well. But then there's the real low-end travelers, and that's why I'm bringing this up today. So about a week ago, I guess, out of nowhere, Katie got a message from a friend of ours who lives in Beijing, who's from Serbia, And she said that her friend is on some message forum, and then that person's friend is traveling in Hong Kong and is looking for a place to stay. So now we're talking about a friend of a friend of a friend. And I couldn't even go and ask our friend, hey, do you know anything about this person? Because now it's three people removed. And I wouldn't normally just invite someone to stay over if I don't know anything at all about them. So, but we were able to find out that this person who's in Hong Kong has a Couchsurfing profile. And we looked through the profile. Everything looked great. You get to leave references for people you meet on there. So you can do some vetting that way and learn that, yeah, this is a perfectly fine person. So we decided, okay, let's invite her over. And so we invited her that night, but she learned where we live. We live out in the country, and she didn't want to come all the way out here, mostly just because of the money for public transportation. She would have to pay to come out, and then the next day pay to go back in the city, and then pay again to come out again. So that's three trips. And it would just be a little bit too much. And it's not that public transportation is that expensive here. It's that my guest today, this Serbian woman who eventually came to stay with us, she is traveling around the world without any money. And I'm really serious about this. Her name is Miljana Žutić. And I think I'm probably saying her name wrong. So I'm just going to play a recording of her saying her own name just so we get that straight.
Miljana Žutić.
Okay, so Miljana, she left her home 4 years ago when she was either 20 or 21. I'm not quite sure. Early 20s, let's say. 4 years ago, she left her home in Serbia. She had 2 euros to her name. And by the end of the day, she was down to 1 euro. A euro is like a dollar. Okay. Somehow she's able to do it. She's been traveling for 4 years. Now, I guess I didn't ask her too much about if she stays in a place for a long time. But I think she mostly just moves around all the time. I mean, she's not so much of an expat of like I am. I'm living in Hong Kong for a while. So, but she's really traveling. Even as I'm recording this, I'm trying to think, how does she do it? Well, she's a chef for one thing, and she's quite skilled at it, as I found out, because she made us some French toast that was amazing. But I don't know if she settles down in places and cooks for a while to make money. But then the other way she's making money while she travels is she's working as a living statue. And you've probably seen these if you've traveled in big cities at all. They're people who stand still, and they usually paint their face or whatever, wear some sort of makeup or costume, stand there, and then some people just go up and mess with them and try to get them to flinch, but they're mostly just being statues. And then if you put some money in their hat or their jar that they have in front of them, then they'll do a little routine. They'll move around and become to life, let's say, and then they'll go back to being a statue again. Now, I've seen a lot of these people, and I guess I've never really thought about what their story might be. And I want you to think about this as you listen to this podcast, that the street performers can have some really interesting stories. So I'm really happy to have met Miljana and gotten her story. So that's her main gig. She works as a living statue. And then on the spending end, because remember, travel and just going away for a long time without a job, it's partly about how you make money, if you need to make money, but it's partly about how you spend too. I mean, that's a huge part of it. So instead of flying or taking buses or trains, she hitchhikes. She hitchhikes pretty much everywhere between cities. And even within Hong Kong, she's been hitchhiking whenever she can. And instead of staying in hotels or hostels, she'll either couch surf or stay with friends. You're going to learn that during the podcast, she talks about sleeping in a McDonald's in Hong Kong. So she spends very little. And she can really make her money stretch out and go a long way, which God, I'm blown away by this. I'm so impressed that she's been able to do this for so long. And she's still going. She's probably going to go for another year before going home, which is great. And I've often thought about what makes a good traveler. And I think you'll hear this coming through as you listen to Miljana's story during the podcast. I think she's got what it takes. She's really just confident, but then also very outgoing and friendly and just a strong person. Even if you don't want to travel the way that she does, you're going to glean a lot of advice from her, because we talk about how to get around cheaply, how to stay safe as a woman traveling by herself. That's a big topic. And she's got some great advice for people out there who are interested. And just travel in general, just exploring, discovery of the world. She's got it all. So I'm really, really happy that I was able to record this podcast with her. I think we should get into it. But first, I need to briefly mention that Miljana is online. She has a YouTube channel and a Facebook account and an Instagram page. And all three are, she uses the same handle. It's Serbian Traveler. And she spells Traveler the American way with one L. Just type in Serbian Traveler and you'll find her. The main place where she posts updates is to YouTube. So she makes educational videos. She talks about the places that she's in and her experiences there and then what it's like to travel there. So if you're interested in following her adventure, you can just go to Miljana's YouTube channel and watch a video. Or you can go to my website, and I'm going to put links to all of her social media on there. And my website is 1000daysbetween.com. So Miljana would really highly appreciate it if you'd subscribe to her YouTube channel. And then if you enjoy it a lot, you can do one more thing for her. And she has a PayPal account. That account is at pierrestatue@gmail.com. And I'll spell that for you. It's an email address, pirrestatue@gmail.com. Any little amount would be highly appreciated. Trust me, Miljana travels on a very low budget. So even just a few bucks, she can make that money really last for a long time and keep her trip alive and well. Okay, thank you so much for putting up with this long introduction. And let's get into my podcast with Miljana Žutić. What's it like in Serbia?
Well, it's very cheap. The life is very cheap, but also the salaries are very low. So you can get an apartment for 50 euros, but you're working your ass off for 200 euros.
Per month?
Yeah, yeah. So oh, wow. Most of the people there, they have their own garden, even though they live in city. Mm-hmm. So they would go for weekends and maybe someday, even during the week after their job, to take some tomatoes, cucumbers, watermelon, whatever they planted.
Hmm. It's almost the opposite of, but kind of the same as Hong Kong. It's like the salaries are really high, but it's also very expensive to live here. So a lot of people have gardens for that reason.
Yeah, but still, like when they travel, they can spend like a lot of like little money to have a lot of services in other countries.
Right.
While we have to save whole leap of money to travel anywhere.
Right. That's why it's really impressive that you're traveling like you are, because you don't meet too many people from countries where there's not as much money. They just have a hard time traveling for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's doubly impressive.
But when I travel to countries where people are poor, they are more friendly. They are likely to help. Mm-hmm. They open the house for you. You can take shower. You can sleep. Yeah, they give you food to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a big misconception with travel is that people who are poor, it's almost like the opposite of what you would think it is. They're the most generous people.
Yeah, exactly.
They're so nice. Mm. And they'll just give away everything to you.
Exactly, It's
completely insane. And I've met some rich people who are quite generous too, but it's...
Very little.
very little for you?
No, very rarely, very rarely.
Right.
Rich people, they are afraid they will spend their money, so that's why they are trying as right. much as they can not to, and they're afraid they will be the one who will be poor, so mm-hmm. they will save every penny. But poor person, he's thinking like, okay, if I give her, I'm gonna help her, and sometime somebody is gonna help me because I had already situation like this, and someone helped me, uh-huh. so I'm going to help this person. And the poor person thinks, okay, I'm not going to be any richer if I don't help her, and I'm not going to be any poorer if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I spread a meal or something. I met Indian guy here who spread a meal with me.
Yeah.
Some rice and salad he bought for himself,
uh-huh.
and he gave me half of it.
Oh, how did you meet him?
In the street. I was uh-huh. just sitting on the street with my bag, my backpack, and this guy just saw me because I was sitting there for a long time. So he's like, okay, do you need any help? Because he lives there, so he was walking, probably going out to buy food, and in his way back, he saw me again. So I'm standing there in the street like a long time.
Yeah.
So he's like, what you are doing? Do you search for hotel or something? And I'm like, no, I'm not staying in hotel. So where do you stay? In street. Ah, so you're going back to China? No, I say, I'm staying in Hong Kong, but I'm staying in the street. So he offered me to stay in his apartment, uh-huh. but because he's not from couchsurfing and he's guy alone in small apartment,
yeah.
I just said, no, I can't be alone with a guy in the small apartment.
Uh-huh.
And in any kind of apartment, you know. Then he told me, okay, we can just have a meal. I bought some salad, rice, and chicken, and we can eat.
Okay.
But because I'm not eating chicken, I just took rice and some salad.
Oh, right, because you have meat allergy, right. So did you were telling me, is this the same guy that you were telling me last night, his apartment?
No.
Oh, a different guy?
Different guy.
Oh, wow.
I didn't stay in his apartment. Okay. Then later that night, I met the guy from couchsurfing just for meetup, and he told me his parents are away and I can stay in his place for one night.
Okay.
So I just went there, took shower, stay for one night.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I had this other couchsurfer that I had to go with him 6:45. We meet for some car event. First, when he told me to go to some car event, I didn't know what's that. But I'm like, okay, I'm already in street with my bag, so why not just going anywhere?
Yeah.
I don't have plans anyway. So it turns out that this car event, I thought he's like taking some tourists and local people and they're going into some picnic or something. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere where you can't go with the bus, that's why it's called car event. But no, actually, they're meeting all these guys with Porsche and nice cars. They're meeting in one point, and then they're all driving together to some other point.
Each in their own car, right?
Yeah. And they have breakfast, and I'm like, what the fuck, how stupid is this? Why they don't just meet there?
Right.
And
they want to show their cars off? Is that it?
Yeah, and I mean, this guy also from couchsurfing, he have good references.
Yeah.
And he tried to hold my hand in romantic way while he was driving the car.
God.
And I, like, push his hand away. And he didn't understood. So he took it again. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, sorry.
But, and then did he stop?
Later he tried to hold me for the shoulder, like half hugging while walking, and I tell him no, that's not okay. I moved myself from there. He tried again to catch my hand, and I say no. He say, I'm sorry. He say, what the fuck you think about couch surfing? This is not place where you meet the girls for stuff like this. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, you need to have some boundaries.
Yeah. There's plenty of dating sites out there.
Yeah, of course. And you think because you have nice car that you can have any girl you want? I mean...
Yeah. Mm. Wow. Does this kind of thing happen often to you on couch surfing?
No.
Oh, okay.
But pretty rare, think... Huh? this guy, he just think that because he have nice car that he can pick any girls. But I think he bought the car for picking up the girls. Because he's tutta muta. He doesn't have any subjects to speak about. He's just quiet. Sometimes maybe he asks some question, but even when you answer, you see that he didn't even hear the answer, you know? So you're traveling. So I'm telling him that I'm traveling hitchhiking. Oh, so you came with the plane.
Hitchhiked on a plane.
yeah. Exactly. So this was example, but he was like not listening at all.
Right.
And when you ask him something, he just answered like very shortly what you ask him, and that's it. It's very sad little life he had.
Right. Yeah. Some people just don't have the social skills, but then they do have money. And
well, I think he doesn't have money. He just collected money so he will buy this car. But if he had money, if he's truly rich, he would be able to move from his parents, right?
Already lives with his parents.
Yeah, because he told me, like, we mentioned couchsurfing, and he told me, yeah, I'm not hosting. I said, I know you're not hosting. And he told me, yeah, because here in Hong Kong, it's very hard to move away from your parents. I say, why? I thought he's thinking about money, but I was like, what the fuck, he have good car. Why he would be hard, it would be hard for him to separate from his parents when he have good car. I mean, you know, then you think he might have a lot of money. But no, he told me that's because of the money. And I tell him, okay, so it's hard to move from your parents, but it's not hard to have Porsche. And he laughed. And I say, what's funny? He told me, I need this car, but like, in...
Car is necessary.
Yeah, car is necessary, but a separate apartment is not. Mm. And I'm like, okay.
This could be a cultural difference, too, for a couple reasons. I mean, I don't know Hong Kong that well, but I know Chinese culture pretty well. And people tend to live with their parents until they get married. It's pretty
in Serbia, even after you get married.
Even after you get married, you live with your parents?
Yeah.
And grandparents and whole family?
Yes.
Oh. Hmm. And is it a money thing, or is it...
It's just...
Just the way things are there.
Yeah, it's easier. It's so much easier. I mean, imagine if your parents live with you and Katie, and then, you have kids, and you need to go to your job, and she need to go to job. So the kids, you will need with the car to drop them off with in the preschool, right? And then go to your job. But like this, you already have grandparents in the house.
Yeah.
So you just brush your teeth and go to job.
Grandparents do it all.
Yeah.
That's kind of how China is too. You have children and then you just hand them to the grandparents and they raise the kids. I guess some things are kind of the same then, huh?
Yeah, I think it's very handy. Like when you go to your job and... especially if you have the same shift as your spouse have, then it's very handy that your grandparents live. Your child's grandparents, live in the same house. So you don't need to even drop them off to your parents. They are already there, you know?
Right.
You just leave your house and go to your job.
Yeah, this is a common problem actually in the U.S. is that childcare is so expensive. Daycare... It's like paying for university, but as the kid is like 3 years old, and you're paying a huge amount of money, and so a lot of people, it's almost more money than they make working all the time. So people stay home sometimes. So this seems like a much more practical way of doing it.
Even
though it sounds weird at first, when I hear, oh, you live with your parents. Wait a minute, why? And you're married and have kids. Wait, why would you do that? But it's a practical thing. It makes sense. Huh. Except this apartment is actually quite large for Hong Kong. It's like 700 square feet or like 70 meters, let's say. But most Hong Kongers have like half of this, if that. So we're quite lucky. And I can't imagine having like six people living here. That would be very crowded with one bathroom.
Yeah, but I mean... Look, when grandparents, they're old, they don't have job, right? They're retired.
Right.
So they don't have to go to job. They can stay in and take care about the children. And the children are small. They can stay maybe in the same room as grandparents, or at least in the living room. You can put the baby room in some, I mean, it's not that difficult. You can just work it. I mean, in my house, we were like six of us. My parents and three brothers and me. So I didn't live with my grandparents because both of my grandpa died when both of my parents were young. But my grandma from my father's side died a year before I was born. So we were pretty much alone, like parents and children, but they have four children, so we were six in the house. And when I was a kid, I slept with my brothers in the same room. I mean, we have...
bunk bed?
On the floor.
Yeah, two beds stacked
up.
Bunk
beds. And we had normal bed.
Okay.
So I would just sleep up in the bunk bed. But later when I was older, I started sleeping with my parents in the room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, I don't know. And then even later, like, I just go to the living room and stay there. I would just every day put the sheets on, and every morning I would remove them from the couch. So there was three seaters, so I didn't have to pull anything out and in. Just put some sheets on the three seaters and lay down, sleep, and in the morning... pick it up. So that was pretty. And then my father died 2013.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No problem. And my mother, she go to living room and she give me their rooms. And now I'm traveling and my room is like empty. It has just my closet, a bunch of my stuff, and I tell my mother, you can stay in my room, like you can sleep there. No, I already get used to sleep in the living room.
I was like, okay. Is anyone else there still? Any of your brothers? Or?
Well, two of my brothers, they are in the other city. One of them went for studying, then he graduated and he started working and now he's on master. And the other one went the same city to study as well.
Oh, okay.
The third brother, he's studying in Belgrade, and it's just 20 kilometers, so he's just traveling back and forth every day.
Oh, I see. So hearing your stories about your family growing up, I'm thinking, okay, maybe, because you always slept with a lot of people around and sleep on the couch, and you're kind of used to having this chaotic or maybe noisy environment and sleeping through things, maybe that would really help you with travel. But then you also had a lot of family around, so maybe that kind of hurts. Do you miss your family, too, when you travel?
Well, I was kind of always independent. Since the little legs, I always go out by myself. It was not time like parents go out with their children and they're watching them all the time. No, we just go out from the house, we play outside, and then we come back whenever we want.
Okay.
So we don't have supervision like nowadays,
you know?
So I was this type of person who would just make friends with everyone. And first thing in the morning, I would just like stand up from the bed, brush my teeth, eat something, and run outside for playing.
Okay.
And I would stay there until the night. My mother would call me for dinner and for lunch, but I would say, no, I want to play. The other kids that are in playground, they are like all coming back to their house for eat.
Yeah.
And then they come like 2 hours later.
Okay.
But me, I was always the one who is there, you know?
You're always playing, huh?
Yeah. I'm always outside.
Very social.
Yeah. So there was always like persons, some group would go, the other would stay, and then this one will come back, and someone
okay,
I will
so
go.
Okay, so someone's with
I'm
you all the
always,
time.
I'm always outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but nowadays, like, I'm overlooking this playground, and nowadays it's empty.
Really?
Yeah, oh, because there is a lot of phones and laptops and...
Yeah.
I don't know, tablets and stuff. So parents are giving their children of a young age their personal phone. Oh. My best friend, she have a daughter. When she was like already 2.5, she knew how to take selfies and how to play games. Yeah.
Wow. So they just stay inside on their phones?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so sad.
Just when it's very bad weather... Yeah. And then when the first day when it's very nice weather, yeah, you see the full playground.
Okay.
But then the next day, bam, they're all gone.
All back in.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. God, what is that generation going to be like when they grow up?
I don't know.
You know?
Maybe like Hong Kong people. They don't care about anything, just money.
Right.
No social skills and it.
Porsches. Mm. Car group, whatever. Mm. Car meetups. Huh. I see, like, right when I met you, though, I could see that you're quite independent and quite social, because you found this place. I mean, we were going to text back and forth that you were coming, and then I just heard the doorbell, and I thought, oh, she's here. And but there was no text, and then I found out later that your phone had died, and you just couldn't. But so you got here with no phone, and this place, like, we have friends here who live in Hong Kong, who live in this part of Hong Kong, who still can't find this place. Because it's kind of hard. It's these villages, the addresses don't really make sense. The numbers don't go in order. There's no names on the streets.
Katie just sent me the location.
Yeah.
So I saw that it's a little bit up from the street.
Okay.
So I figured, okay, this is up from the main street, right?
Yeah, so you
so
found
I went
that road.
A little bit
okay,
up,
okay.
And I go to this road and I ask one lady, where is the number 20? She sent me to that row, and the mailman told me what I'm searching, and I said, I'm searching for number 20. But numbers here are a little bit mixed up, right?
Right.
Because first it's like 17, then it's like... 24, and then it's like 13.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. And he told me, like, this is the 20, but which one floor you need? I said, I don't know, but I'm just gonna ring.
Oh, you rang both?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another thing that I don't know about Serbia, but in the U.S., the ground floor, we call floor number one, the first floor. But here, they call it just the ground floor. So what we call the second floor, they call the first floor. So we're on the second floor, but it's actually the third floor. So it's confusing, yeah. but you still got it.
In my country, it's also confusing because sometimes we say for the ground floor that it's first floor, if it's house.
Ah, okay.
But if it's a building,
yeah,
we say it's ground floor. Because mainly in the ground floors, you don't have any people living.
Right, like in an
there's
office
just
building.
Shops. Mm. Not office buildings, but these places that are where they would be apartments. There's
right.
just rooms for shops. So then the doors are from outside.
Ah, right.
So there is no point of calling this the first floor, you know? And plus, when you're going in elevator, what you're going to press, number one? No, you press number zero. But when you are in the house, we call this first floor.
Oh, so it's even more confusing.
Yeah, it's not really that confusing. For buildings,
right?
It's ground floor, because, like, think about it. If it's the first floor, how you're going in elevator, you will press zero or you will press one. Zero, of course.
Oh, right. You press G for ground floor.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but in the houses, there is no ground floors. I mean, you have first floor, second floor, basement. You know?
Well, I guess it makes sense. Yeah. But I guess the main lesson here is that you talk to people. You ask. And it's amazing. When you look up from your phone or you just put it away, it's amazing the number of things that you can learn about the world. Like, there's so much signage everywhere. It's almost not valuable anymore.
Actually, when I went to the Saikung the other day, to the supermarket.
Yeah.
So I went there and I just asked people where I can find some supermarket where there is bread or some food or something. And the guy showed me the way and we bumped into 7-Eleven, right?
Yeah.
So I know 7-Eleven is more expensive than the normal local supermarkets because it's not local brand. So I just ask people, hey, do you know where is like any cheap supermarket? And they say, yeah, we know Parker Shop.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where is that? And they just show me the way. I just start following. After a couple of minutes, I ask someone else, sorry, where is Park and Go? And they tell me more straight. I ask just for case if I didn't miss it, you know?
Right.
So I will not go 3 hours forward and then ask someone and then I have to come back 3 hours, you know?
Or someone gives you the wrong direction.
Yeah. Or someone gives me the wrong direction. So I just ask again and the person tell me I'm on the right way. Find a supermarket, I buy some food and it was all good. But there is people who are afraid to speak with other people. I mean, I don't know why you should be afraid. You are new to this place, you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Even though if you are local, like you might not know everything. So you can just ask people. And you know, many times asking one thing will lead you to the conversation and then knowing much more things that you might need, you know?
Yeah, right.
Well, that's how I knew that I can sleep in McDonald's. I mean,
oh, yeah. How did you find that out?
One guy, he told me I hitchhiked towards the city center when this happened with the guy from Saikung Country Park.
Oh, yeah.
So I hitchhiked there and I tell him where I'm going. He was going in the same part of the city.
Uh-huh.
And he tell me, like, where are you going to stay tonight? I said, I'm just on the street. Do you know some bench or something where I can... where I can sleep? And he tell me, yeah, you can stay in the McDonald's, it's not a problem. A lot of Chinese tourists are doing that.
Okay.
They come here and because everything is expensive in Hong Kong, they just stay in the McDonald's. They leave in the morning. That's it.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because McDonald's are working 24/7. So when I woke up in the middle of the night, like 4 a.m., I saw there is no food orders. Everyone just sleeping there. And I was like, what?
Right, yeah.
Why McDonald's is working 24/7, you know?
Right.
For us to sleep in.
This is something that's so different about this. Well, I was going to say East Asia. Maybe that's not really true. But Hong Kong and China, for sure, it's true.
Mm.
In mainland China, it's very true. I mean, if you go into like a Starbucks, for example, at about that time, there will be dozens of people asleep. And so it's completely normal here to go into a business and not order anything, not buy anything, just go to sleep.
Mm.
But it's a great way to save money. I mean, this city is not cheap.
It's exactly.
Gotta be.
But in America, can you do that in Starbucks?
No, they wouldn't let you. I mean, you might do it for 20 minutes, maybe.
But then they figure out that you didn't order anything. Right. And even if you order, I think they would not let you sleeping there.
Sleeping? Probably not. Maybe if you put sunglasses on and pretend you're awake still. Or I don't know.
You can't pretend you're awake. Because you're going to, like, you're going to look like sleeping.
When I was in high school, I mean, I slept every single day in school. I slept all the time. and the way I was able to do it is by propping up my head on my hand, and I'd hide my eyes behind my hand, and I'd make it look like I'm studying or writing or something, and I'd really be asleep. So I got pretty good at it.
I also sleep many times in the high school, but my professors, they let me.
Oh, they don't care.
They say, yeah. And then when other people would be jealous, and they say, oh, Milena is asleep, why she can't sleep? And we can't. So the professor, she would say, when you have the grades like Milena do, you can do whatever you want.
Ah, you can learn in your sleep.
Well, not exactly, but some I listen carefully in the classes. So when some classes are repeating or we are doing some, you know, it's not every day you have to be awake and you have to listen. Sometimes you repeat some stories or there's many times it happens. We have the class about something I already know from my own life because I like to read a lot. So the professors were amazed. Like, we didn't even study that. And the things you're saying, it's not even in our books, so you couldn't possibly read this forehead, you know?
Oh, okay.
So how you know these things?
So you learned on your own, then?
Yeah, yeah.
Self-study.
And I tell them, yeah, I'm reading, like, a lot of books. And they're like, oh, wow, which book do you read?
Huh. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. I would go to the library and take a book in the morning, and then I would go home. I would read it, and I would bring back, I finished the book, and I want to read more. So I would bring back to the library, and she would tell me, I just gave you today, you can't come to, like, take 3-4 books from once, and then go home. But I didn't know I could do that.
Oh, I
actually,
see.
You couldn't, but she told me, okay, don't come 3 times a day, please. Here is 7 books. Just don't come 3 times a day.
Yeah, the whole point is to take them home. The whole point is to take them home. Right. So you were asking me about the U.S. And honestly, I'm trying to think while you're talking here of what would happen and with Starbucks or whatever. I don't know. Because it's been a while since I've lived in the U.S. And sometimes I forget what things are like. I mean, I remember once someone put on Facebook, can you believe this? This is a picture in China. Can you believe this? And it was a picture of IKEA, the furniture store. And it had a bunch of people sleeping on the beds and stuff and on the couches. And I was like, what? I don't know. What's weird about this? I don't understand why you think this is weird or bad. And it's like, well, there's people sleeping. I'm like, oh, they don't do that in the U.S.? And in IKEA, you don't just go and... You know, you want to try out a bed, so you take a nap on it. Like, no, I guess not. But so
But it's better to try on the bed first.
I know. But
then
I think you're
buying something that it will be for the whole of your life. And plus, you will spend 1/3 of your life there, you know?
Yeah, right.
So it's like, it's very important.
So do you travel with a mattress or anything?
Yeah. With the yoga mat.
A yoga mat. It's okay
yoga
for...
Yoga mat and... yeah, I mean...
Can you put it on the ground and sleep on it? And you're comfortable?
I bought it just to protect me from the heat, from the cold.
Oh, okay.
When I'm camping, because when I camped the last time... Well, actually, I'm traveling for 4 years hitchhiking, but I get to sleep in my tent just 2 times in my life.
2 times in 4 years? And you're carrying a tent with you the whole time?
Yeah, if I don't have it, I would need to sleep it every day. I mean, you know?
It's one of those.
But because I have it, I don't know. People assume that I'm camping, so they are like, okay, you can come here.
Okay.
So people see that I'm, because I have tent, that I'm poor and sleeping outside. Because I don't have money. But if I don't have tent, maybe they would think I'm a rich tourist who just... like to have his things packed in the backpack.
Right. Interesting. So
last time when I slept in the sleeping bag and my tent, I get very cold from the ground because ground is very, very cold in the night. So I do some research and I find out that I have to buy a yoga mat or something like this.
All right.
To protect just from the cold.
Yeah, you lose a lot of your body heat down through the ground.
Yeah.
Especially if the ground is cold. So it's important.
Yeah, and actually that's the reason why beds are higher.
Like
why beds are not this low.
Right.
Because the cold air is circling down there.
Oh, that makes sense. Interesting. So Katie and I also traveled with a tent last year. And I usually travel with a tent. But I use it all the time. So that's kind of funny. But it's more for hiking. I'll go outside and walk for like a week and sleep outside every night in a tent. Not sleeping in cities. Except Japan. That you haven't been there, right?
No, but I'm hoping to.
Oh, okay. If you ever go, then bring your tent, for sure, because you can sleep just about anywhere in Japan, and no one cares. So that's, yeah, it's really great. I definitely recommend going there.
It's not a problem for me sleeping outside, but what if some animal comes and attack you?
Like in a tent?
Snake or...
Well, it's possible, but...
Scorpion or something.
You know, I think you're mainly afraid of something just because you don't know. Mm. Like, you've never tried. I mean, a lot of people are just afraid of traveling. Like, well, what if I go to Hong Kong? What if someone attacks me or kills me? And, well, it's actually quite safe here, and you don't have to worry so much about that.
Well,
you just don't know.
It's safe. Nobody's going to harm you. But in the same way, if you need help, nobody's going to help you. So it's not safe.
Right, in that way.
If your battery die, and you will be lost without your mobile because you don't have... You lost maybe an address or something.
Yeah, like you, like your situation,
yeah,
right?
There will not be way for you to find some plugs.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I go to Starbucks, I go to McDonald's, I ask them to plug my phone. All of them, they say no.
God.
I go to many places, to 7-Eleven even I've been. And so I ask the guy, can I please charge my mobile just for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And he put his nose up and he was like, no.
Wow.
I'm like, sorry, king. Do you need the red carpet or something? The fuck?
He works at 7-Eleven.
And then I go to this supermarket to leave money for them. No, I will not.
Right, yeah. Why would you spend money there? But the last year, again in Japan and also Taiwan, Katie and I went to 7-Eleven a lot because we were bicycling, and we had the same problem that we were camping, nowhere to charge stuff when we're camping, so we'd have to charge stuff during the day. We would usually we'd buy something, but we'd get maybe a cup of coffee or some chicken wings or something, and just sit in they have a little seating area in Japan usually, and you just charge up your stuff.
But they don't have the plugs in the walls. If they had plugs,
yeah,
I would just put them.
You would just do it, right.
But if I buy something and then I ask for phone to charge and they say no, what I'm going to do? To throw this hot coffee on his face?
Right. That's the worst. When you actually pay for something and then you want a thing that you normally would get for free and they just don't have it.
They don't have it, yeah.
Yeah, I've had that happen with coffee. Where I think it was in the, I can't remember what country now. Oh, it was in Thailand. I really had to use Wi-Fi, and I didn't have any Wi-Fi on my phone, and I was in a big hurry too. I had to meet somebody, and I needed it badly. And I just went into a coffee shop and got a coffee, and I didn't even need the coffee. And it was like $4 for the coffee.
Mm.
And I said, oh, well, what's your Wi-Fi password? And they said, oh, no Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
Oh, great. I guess I should have asked beforehand, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if you ask before, he would say no, even if they have. Because, like, you didn't...
Right, because you didn't buy anything.
Buy anything, so no for you. That would be no for, like...
Right.
We don't have for you.
Right. It's one of those dilemmas that you... encounter as a traveler, especially on a budget.
I think it's I don't know why all these restaurant or coffee shops, like, if you have someone who need Wi-Fi just for send one message or something,
yeah,
you can just give your password. But no, some of them are so, like, you have to buy something, and then from the receipt, you will have some code that you type, and then there is, you type your mobile number and your country and this and that. And
right.
You lose 3 hours just like signing
up. Just hooking up.
Yeah. And then it's written like you have 45 minutes of use.
Right. Or they want, like you said, they want your phone number.
Mm.
This is another big problem with travelers because you don't have a phone number always. Especially when you're going to a new country all the time, sometimes you don't have a number, and everyone wants your phone
number. I never have number.
And you need to enter it, and then they send you a text. Well, you can't receive texts, right?
Exactly.
Right. I mean, to be fair, only like 10 years ago, there weren't any smartphones and there wasn't really Wi-Fi.
Mm.
I mean, when I was traveling in South America, nobody had a phone back then.
Mm.
So somehow it worked out. But that was back when you just talked to people more, I guess.
Yeah, but nowadays.
Yeah, forget it. Hmm. Well, so as I'm sure people listening to this have figured out, you're not exactly traveling in 5-star hotels. And,
Well, actually, in Beijing, I stayed in 5-star hotel.
Really? How?
Yeah. My colleagues that I've worked with them back then when I was working in Belgrade, in 5-star hotel as a chef. So they are now working in 5-star hotel in Beijing. So when I said that I'm traveling to Beijing, they were like, oh, we also live in Beijing. You can come here and stay with us. Their husband and wife, I work with both of them. And then when I went to their place, I find out that there is one more colleague that I've worked with in Belgrade, also in that hotel, and also my boss.
Wow.
That was my boss at the time.
So you knew a lot of people.
Yeah. So 4 people that I was working with them, they're now working in this hotel in Beijing.
Did they give you a room, a regular room?
Yeah. They give me a room and...
what was it like?
It's nice. I get massage every day. No, really? I'm joking.
Oh.
No massage. But I had free lunch.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, how does that feel after you... I mean, I know your story a little bit better, but I know that you had hitchhiked all the way across China and Kazakhstan. And after all that, to get to a 5-star hotel, how was it? Like, was it...
It was very good, and I get very spoiled there because I just like to sleep and, you know...
Yeah. I guess I would. I would never leave the room if I had a nice room like that. I would never do touristy things.
So, yeah, and I stay a little longer than I planned.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many nights?
Because, a lot. I think I overstayed my welcome.
Oh no! They kicked you out?
No. They didn't kick me out. But actually, they tell me like if I need anything else or if I come back to let them know. And they tell me I can stay as much as I want. Mm-hmm. But I stay like 2.5 weeks.
Really? In the same hotel?
Yeah. Or two weeks and a half, like this.
Oh, I didn't know this. So here this whole time I thought you were sleeping in McDonald's every night. And
no.
Sleeping on the street.
First time sleeping in McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
In Hong Kong. So, and then like because I stayed in 5-star hotel and got spoiled, I was postponing the things that I want to visit. Like I visit tomorrow, I will visit. And then when the final day come when I need to go, I wanted to visit this park as well, and it was like Central Park under the Forbidden City.
Okay.
It's the biggest square in the world. So I wanted to visit
Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, Tiananmen Square. Yeah. And when I wanted to visit there, it was closed.
Oh no, was it Monday?
No, it was Silky Road delegation.
Oh, okay. So there were big meetings happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's where the government meets too.
Yeah. So it was open every day, and now when I wanted to go, it was closed.
Ah, see, you got too greedy with your 5-star room, all your luxuries.
And we went for the Silky Market, and I wanted to buy one dress.
Yeah.
And just my friend, she paid for it. And I was like, no. And she said, no, I want to, because I know like you will not accept money, so please take this from us. So she bought me this black dress.
Yeah.
And then later, because I didn't buy that dress, I could buy the red one. Uh-huh. So I just bought the red.
Oh, that's
the
cool.
The one you saw.
Yeah.
But the red one is not dress. It's something you put over the dress when it gets a little bit colder. But it's in the same like Chinese style, so it can get one over the other.
Okay. Do you think you'll wear them while you're traveling?
I wore them for the Easter.
Oh, okay.
There was Easter. For Easter, I was in Beijing, so...
Okay.
we had some friends coming over, and I just dressed this this thing, and I was like hostess, you know, accepting guests, and yeah, and we paint eggs. I took some pictures.
Okay.
And people in Serbia, they're like, oh, thank you so much for bringing two cultures together, because I'm like Serbian, we are celebrating Orthodox Easter, and I'm having in the picture basket with the painted eggs.
Yeah.
And in other hand, I'm like having this traditional Chinese dress and this sticks in my hair. And
oh, hair pulled like, back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like Chinese people do. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So people were telling me, thank you so much for bringing two cultures together.
Right.
And I'm like, always a pleasure. That's why actually I'm traveling. I travel to meet the cultures, to know the culture of one country, to know their history, tradition, religion, everything. Like everything that is important for one country, I want to know, to meet and to record videos, to put it in YouTube so other people will learn. So, for example, I was very interested why Hong Kong is so different, like, from mainland China. And, for instance, they are even driving in the opposite side.
Like, right.
And mentality different. Okay, food more or less the same, I think.
Same as some parts of China.
It's
maybe
different.
I think if you just walk across the border, it's pretty similar. But if you go far away in China, it's a very different type of food.
And yeah, so everything is different. And if you didn't tell me what happened, like the British were here. I didn't know that. Like British were here for 99 years, and then 1997 they left.
Yeah.
They signed a contract for this place to be independent for another 50 years, so they will have time to adjust for the communist, right?
Well, for the for China to fully take it over.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Oh, you remember it well.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying my best.
Right.
And if you didn't tell me all this story, I would not have any idea how they are different. Why they are even driving in the opposite side, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking, like, why?
So you knew, you could notice right away that it's different, but you didn't know the whole background.
Because I'm asking people and they tell me, read about it. And you know, when you're reading something and researching, you need like whole leap of time to put everything together.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, you tell me, as soon as you told me British were here and this was under their control, I figure out.
Yeah, it's immediately obvious.
Like, I figure out everything else. Like, okay, that's why they're driving on opposite side. That's why they're different mentality.
Yeah.
You know? But they could just tell me this. But they tell me just, okay, research. Do the research.
God, it's too bad you get.
Can you tell me just one thing about your country, please? You know.
Right, right, and you're here to learn. You want them to tell you.
Huh. Yeah.
I'm not even from here.
Yeah, and
I shouldn't be the one telling you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you've been to a lot of places, though. What did you say? 4 years you've been traveling.
Mm.
Can you just name for now all the countries you've been to?
Mm. I will name the route that I was going.
Okay.
So some countries will be repeating.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay. So I go from Serbia, I go Hungary, Slovakia, Austria, Italy, France, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Germany, Denmark, Czech Republic, Greek, Macedonia, Albania, Montenegro, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, Slovenia. Then I pass through Serbia to go Bulgaria, Turkey, Iran. From Iran, I come back to Turkey, I come back to Europe. I go Germany, Poland, Belarus, Ukraine, Romania. From Romania, I took flight to Israel. I go Israel, Palestine, Jordan, Egypt, Sudan. From Sudan, I come back to Turkey by plane. I go Georgia, Azerbaijan, Armenia. I go back to Europe. Then I went to Brazil, Guyana, Suriname, French Guyana in South America. Then I went to Jamaica. Then from Jamaica, I come back to Europe. I visited my family and friends. And because I travel like pretty much everywhere in around, and the winter was passing away, you know, it was still not hot. So in Russia is very cold. I didn't visit Russia, so but now it's very cold, so I couldn't. So I was thinking, where can I travel? And I decided just to go for China. 10,000 kilometers from Serbia to China. Mm-hmm. I went hitchhiking for 24 days. I was on the road without entering any city. And wow. I had showers like in the gas stations and stuff. This is the longest way I was somewhere like in hitchhiking without stop. Usually I'm hitchhiking for one day, I reach the other city or sure. the other country.
Yeah.
Or maximum 3 days. But now 24 days from one shot.
Wow. And that's
so I went from Serbia, I went okay. Bulgaria, Ukraine. From Serbia I went to Romania, Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan, and then China. Yeah. Whew. From China I went to Mongolia and I saw it's still cold, so I was like, no, I'm going. Uh-huh. I'm going to Hong Kong to get visa for Vietnam, and I'm traveling now.
And the journey continues.
Yeah. Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. We'll see next.
So when you were hitchhiking, where were you sleeping?
Just, I'm trying to find the car that is going during the night. So while the driver is driving, I can sleep.
Yeah.
And like, I don't waste my time sleeping. I'm still going, moving on, you know?
Huh. Were you taking like trucks? Big lorries?
Yeah,
or?
Trucks and small cars.
And small cars. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Huh. Can you tell me about an interesting experience you had during this grand 24-day hitchhiking?
I just hitchhiked, and then like I was day and night in the road. So because I'm trying not to sleep all night, because like if driver is driving the night and I just get in and sleep all night, like it would be very rude, you know? So I'm trying to stay awake and to split it, to sleep in the night time drivers yeah. sometime, and then in the daytime drivers sometime, you know?
Oh, okay.
So I would just try to stay awake as much as I can, and then I fall asleep like this. And then like in some point some hole bump or something wakes me up, so I would stay awake until I fall asleep again by accident, just my head fall like this,
right?
And so when I reach when I was close to Russia, the our truck drivers, they tell me that there is a lot of Serbians who are going in this way. Actually, there is very little Serbians who are going this way, and that's why they wanted to send messages and to see if they can find someone for me. So they were sending messages and this guy, he said, I know for sure one guy is going to Mongolia with the medicines, but I can't reach him now. His mobile is shut down. Okay. If you want, I have to go now. If you want, you can go with me. And then later I can try to reach him or to find some other truck driver who go to Mongolia. And because I wanted to go through Mongolia in my original way. Mm-hmm. And then when we went for him to unload and load again in Moscow, there was some Kazakhstanian truck, and I said, oh, there is a Kazakhstanian truck, can you ask him? And they were just asking him. I was sitting with two truck drivers because we stopped for unloading and loading, and there is another Serbian who invited us for coffee inside, so we were drinking coffee, and we just looked, the truck next to him was Kazakhstanian.
Oh,
And I was like, ask him.
Oh, you got lucky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they asked him, and because they were two truck drivers, I said, like, okay, but there are two. How, it wouldn't be a problem. And the guy, he just, Serbian truck driver, he asked him, and he said something in Russian, and he take out whole heap of money, you know, and show it. And just he went away. So I said, what's happening? And they say it's nothing problem for you to go with them to Kazakhstan. I say, yes, but there are two truck drivers. Did you ask him, would that be a problem? He say, yes, I asked him, and he showed me the money, and he say, there is no problem that this can't solve.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually, Kazakhstanian truck drivers, they're like loading a lot. Like, it's allowed some amount, and they overload it.
Oh, like, of stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Or weight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they overload it, like, very much.
So they destroy the roads, then?
Yeah, but you destroy roads anyway.
But they get, get a lot of money.
The slow river is as well making... The slow river makes the biggest canals.
Correct, yeah, the Grand Canyon.
And, so the police stop us one time, and because I had to go with them to the St. Petersburg to load bananas, so we went there from Moscow to St. Petersburg, and then when I reached the St. Petersburg, I just said to this Serbian guy that I reached, and he told me, okay, do you have any money? I tell him, well, not really, but like, it's okay, I will be fine, small budget, but. And he told me, okay, open your bag. I tell him, what? Open your bag, the big pocket in the upper part.
Uh-huh.
And I say, what? And I open and I say, what? I go deep. And like, whole bit, lip of money. I'm like, what? What is this? And he told me, this is for you to have some, for food and stuff.
Whoa.
And I was like, no, I'm going to give you back when I come back. No, this is yours and don't worry. And I was like, oh my God, why you gave, you know?
Right.
And when the police stop us, he had to pay some money. Like,
oh, he had to bribe the police.
Yeah, bribe the police. And I thought it's because of me.
Oh.
So I was sending this guy because he gave me money for food and stuff.
Yeah.
I had to ask for his approval to give them money for, you know, for me
to
causing
give that,
the problem.
That food money to the cops.
No, for because he gave me money for food and stuff, the Serbian guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to ask him for his approval that I give
to bribe the Russian
money,
police, right?
For this guy who bribed the police.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So to give him back. And I asked him, and he told me, this is your money, you can do whatever you want with this. And I was like, okay. And I wanted to give to this guy. And he say, no. I say, yes, I have a problem. Police, because of me, you have to pay. No, not you problem. No, not you problem. Problem me. Because he's very heavy.
Oh, the truck is heavy.
Yeah, they wanted to put him in the measuring device.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he just bribed not to.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. Huh. But I thought it's because of me, you know. I hide myself, but I thought he figured out or something, you know.
Yeah. Huh. Maybe he's heavy because of you, though.
Mm?
You make the truck heavier.
Yeah. I have...
About
20 tons.
50 kilos heavier.
50 kilos, I don't think it's a problem. They can have like 20 tons and they have 30, 35.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so almost double.
Yeah.
God, and it was bananas?
Yes.
Oh, bananas weigh that much.
From down to up, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you need also these wooden boxes for bananas, so it's not just...
Oh, it's not just the bananas.
Yeah, right. That takes the weight as well. But I think the bananas are heavy because they are green.
Ah, okay. Mm. Huh. I guess I've never held up a whole huge amount. Mm. So
It's very heavy, actually, the bananas are. Yeah. And they don't have much water inside. Like, if you blend banana, you need to mix with milk or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, not much juice there. God, crazy.
So it's good when you're blending fruits, like, to put a whole heap of fruits, and then you put banana to make it, like, more creamier.
Ah, okay. Mm. Oh, your chef skills are coming out.
Yeah.
So did you eat bananas along the way? Or is that not allowed?
Well, yes.
From the truck?
Yes, a lot of bananas in the way. Yeah.
Why not?
A lot of bananas. They were just taking it out. Oh, again, banana. Huh. I said, I will become monkey. I would go like, ooh, ooh, ah, ah.
Yeah. I might as well be one. I eat a lot of bananas. Mm. So, okay, from what I gather, you don't understand Russian then, right?
No, I understand, but what they said was very fast, and it was confusing for me because I wouldn't expect for him to say something like that, right?
Right.
So
yeah, no, that's fair, totally. Well, what languages do you speak then?
Serbian, which is my language. Then there is English, Spanish, Portuguese, Arabic, and Russian.
Oh, okay. Ah, quite useful. Mm. If you learn Chinese.
No, please no. I need to first focus on these six languages to master them.
Oh,
you
okay.
Know?
Yeah.
To understand more than I do.
Right.
And then like if I learn Chinese now, all of these six languages will just like,
disappear.
Pop out of my head. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
Mm. I learned Turkish when I was in Turkey, actually.
Did you?
But yeah, because it was super easy. Like, I was hearing what people were saying to each other, and then, like, I would logically connect things in my brain.
Oh, okay.
And I would know, like, what they were saying. Yeah. I wasn't be able to speak as much, but I would... know how to explain some things or...
Oh, could you?
And how can I... Ah. And how to understand the Turkish. But I stayed there just for 1 month and I learned it quickly. So what you learn quickly, you forget even more quickly.
Sure, yeah.
And just forgot it.
But I found, like, learning a language is mostly context. So if you can read body language and you could just... You understand... Like, your truck driving situation was out of nowhere, so you didn't know the context at all.
Yeah.
I find this with Chinese. If I have the context, I can understand it pretty well. But if I just see two people walking and they're talking to each other, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, but in China, it's different. They don't think in the same way as we do. Mm. So maybe what would be logical for you, for them to ask and body language and this... Maybe it's not for them. Maybe they ask totally opposite things. It happened for me many times. I think they are saying something because their gesture and everything is point to one thing. And actually they are speaking about something totally, totally different. You know, that it has nothing to do with whatsoever.
Right. That happens in China, right? Mm. It's such a different culture than anywhere in the West. Has language been a problem anywhere else, or is it just China? Have you been to a country where you just can't, it's really hard to get around because you don't have the language? No,
it's everywhere is pretty much okay. In China it's different because if you are hitchhiking in China and you don't tell them exactly the village they are going to, they'll not take you on their way, even if they go like 500-700 kilometer on your way.
Right.
They will not take you and put you in some gas station in the way to help you be closer to that point, you know? Right. They will say just, no, I'm not going there. And I would be like, yeah, but we are going in the same direction. Mm-hmm. No.
Wow. Did you manage to solve that problem ever?
Yeah, then when someone stopped for me, I would just throw my bag in and
just make sit. Them go.
Yeah, yeah. And then they would stop and ask me where I go. They wouldn't start going. Uh-huh. And I was like, go, go, wherever you are going, I'm going. And then when I need to leave the road, then you can just leave me here. And they wouldn't understand, so I will lose more time on explaining. So I would just pick my bag and go from that car, you know, so I would be in the same position.
God, that's really interesting. Because when we lived in Beijing, the first year anyway, we lived way far out in the outskirts of the city. Mm. And if we needed to get a taxi, the taxi drivers are required to drive you wherever you want to go. They can't just tell you no, but they would tell us no all the time. So I'd lean in the window, tell them where I'm going. They go, oh no, I won't go out there because it's too far, or I won't have a fare to come back. I'll have to drive back with nobody in the car. And so what I learned is the same trick that you did, is just get in the car, especially if we have a bunch of stuff. Load up all the stuff in the car first, then get in the car, and then just tell him where we're going.
Yeah, then he will not lose his time in telling you no, take your stuff and go away.
Right, it's too late.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Then it would always work out. But man,
it's so stupid. Like, okay, he will come back, but he can take someone else on the way, you know?
Yeah, you would think. But if it's late at night, I understand, maybe not. But still, there's so many problems with that. Do you always just hitchhike, or do you take taxis or buses or trains or anything?
No. Between the cities, only hitchhike. And then within the city, sometimes I take bus if the destination where I'm going is not reachable by walking.
Oh, okay.
But most of the time I'm walking from.
Okay. If so you walk like, long distances.
Yeah. I walk a lot.
Yeah, well, same here.
I need some massage of my legs, so when I go to some country. Which countries are famous for massages? Thailand and this?
If you go to Thailand, for sure. Mm. If you go to Vietnam, you can get good massages. Or Cambodia, you can get a 10-minute massage. I know it's short, but 10 minutes for $1, for one American dollar.
Really?
Yeah.
I would need this for my back. My back is hurting me so much for these 20 kilos I have. 24 kilos I have in my back every day.
24? Oh, that's quite heavy.
It's like 24 bags of sugar.
Well, yeah. Right, compared to your body weight especially, that's really up there. Are you sure you're fitting it well? If you don't wear the backpack really well, then the weight is all on your shoulders.
I need to, what's the name for it?
You need to adjust. Oh, to sew.
So because my...
Oh, your shoulder strap ripped?
Ripped? My shoulder strap ripped.
God. Well, let me look. I probably can't help you, but I could at least look.
I just need the needle and some
string. Yeah, thread. Right. I'll look around. Maybe we have something for you here. But anyway, we should talk about travel more.
Okay. So what you want to know? I've been to Europe, Asia, Africa, South America, and Caribbean.
God, and so usually, many places.
Usually when people know that I have been in 40 plus countries, they ask me, which country is your favorite?
Right.
And so I say Iran, Georgia, and Greece.
Okay. Why those three?
And Mongolia. Mongolia is now my new favorite country because I just came from Mongolia and I loved it. So why these countries? Because every country have good and bad people, right?
Yes.
But in these four countries, I always find good people. Mm. There is almost no bad people at all there.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. So it's all about the people for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is, I can't explain you. The people are so nice. They explain you things. They tell you about their culture. They care about their culture, you know?
Yeah.
They show you their culture. They open the doors for you. they are considerate. You can take shower, you can sleep, it doesn't matter. But mainly because they are very, very good and they care about culture. Most of the countries where they don't care about their culture, they don't have even comparison or anything.
Yeah, right. And well, the only one of your favorites that I've been to is Mongolia. And it's one of my favorites too. But I got outside. You went to just Ulaanbaatar, right?
Yeah.
Oh, when you go back, make sure you go out and explore the rest of the country.
Because it's so big.
And, oh, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
It's a little bit less than India.
Oh, in size?
Yes.
Probably.
But it has 3 million people only.
Right. 3 million.
In the whole country.
Right. What I like to say is it's one-sixth the size of the United States. But with 1/100th the people. And half those people live in the capital. So when you leave the capital, there's nomadic.
Nothing.
And then nomadic herders and ranchers. Those people are awesome. You have to go meet those people.
Yeah, I will, for sure.
Because as soon as you go near, they call them the gers, the tent that people live in, you go near their ger, and you're supposed to say, if you're Mongolian, and you know how to say it in Mongolian, you say, hold your dog. And that's the way that they know that someone is coming. But anyway, you go up to their door, and it can be anyone, and they'll always invite you in, and they'll always give you tea and biscuits and ask, like, what's going on with you? How are you doing? And it doesn't even really matter, I don't think, if you're a foreigner, if you're from there. I mean, obviously, if you're not from there, it's harder to communicate.
But
they're just so friendly and open and willing to give, and they share. It's really amazing. There's so few places like that left on the planet where it's truly wild, where you've got 1,000 kilometers in all directions of no cities and just a couple little villages here and there, and people who are still nomadic. Every 2-3 months they'll pick up their home and move somewhere else.
I saw the picture where they're like with bunch of donkeys, I think. Horses.
Today they'll typically use horses, or they used to use cattle or horses or animals, pack animals. Sometimes some parts of Mongolia have camels too, the Bactrian camels.
I saw camels in Mongolia.
Did you?
Cool. Yeah, they're so cute.
Yeah, they're
and
cool.
I saw them in west of China.
Oh, right. Also.
Anyway, I saw the picture, and I saw like this horses with a bunch of stuff, and this guy from Mongolia, he explained me, like, in this picture, this is nomadic people, and they're moving, they're traveling like you do, but with horses and with their houses, right? So I say, I don't know, as we went deep into conversation, I was like, so this is their tent? So this is this, you know?
Yeah.
Because the tent... Their tent is very big. You saw it. It's like a house.
Right.
And I was like, so this tent they're wearing here in the horse? And he was like, yes, yes, this tent. And I'm like, how? It's so big. You know, they have kitchen there. They have room. They have everything.
Uh-huh.
It's like in the size of the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, how they...
Right. It would be like the size of this living room here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's awesome.
They have enough space for having like... A kitchen in one side and then like living room and bedroom all together.
They can easily have 4 or 5 beds. And if they're a bigger family, they'll still put 2 people on a bed maybe. And then in the middle, they have their stove with, depending on what part of the country they live in, they'll maybe burn wood, but maybe they'll burn dung, like cow shit, because it burns really well.
Does it smell very well?
apparently it has a sweet smell when you burn it, so it doesn't smell bad.
So it doesn't smell like shit?
Apparently not. Well, it's dried. They take it when it's dried, so I don't think it smells anymore. They'll go out and collect it. But they're living off the land. I mean, it's a hard life. They don't have hospitals nearby. They don't have good medicine. They don't really have money. Maybe
but people are more resistible for all kind of diseases, you know?
Yeah, in some ways, right. They're tough people, right. They're descendants of Genghis Khan, which you'll hear over and over when you travel around there. But wow.
This guy who conquered the world, right?
Yeah, Yeah, what an amazing country.
And they said, probably he took Serbia as well. So we Google it, yeah. And he just didn't take Serbia.
Oh,
you know?
Just missed?
Yeah, he just missed Serbia. I was like, you see, he didn't take Serbia.
No one can take Serbia.
Yeah. I mean, they could, bunch of people did, but we destroyed their kingdom. Like, you know, we have this saying in Serbian, like Romans came and conquered the world, and they came to Serbia, and then they fall. So Ottomans came, they conquered the world, they came to Serbia, and their kingdom fall. Austro-Hungarians also, they have the kingdom, they conquer the whole world, they came to Serbia and fall. Lesson, don't touch this, what's the name for it? How you say it in English? Oh, don't mess with these crazy people, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, they are not for joke.
Right, yeah.
But our people are known for bravery. Like, uh-huh. We have a lot of people that are very brave, and they would give their life in order to save other life.
Huh. Do you think this is why you're so passionate about other cultures and people who are proud of their culture? Because
yeah,
you're so
yeah.
proud.
Mm,
yeah, yeah. You like other people with the same.
Yes.
Some countries you go there and they're like, yeah, whatever. I mean, Hong Kong's probably an example of that.
Mm.
It's like, I go
like
to work,
care.
I make money.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
as long as I have money, I don't care about my culture, right?
Yeah. I'm generalizing. Everybody cares to some degree, of course.
Mm.
And some people really, even in Hong Kong, really do care about their culture. But you see a lot of that here, a lot of just chasing after money and Porsches and stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, this is just, it's just something I have to bring up, because a lot of people ask me, a lot of women ask me, well, is it okay to travel there if I'm a woman? Can I go to this country, and is it safe? And especially if I'm alone, and I don't know. I it's hard for me to answer that, because I'm not a woman. And so, like, I don't know. But what do you think?
To which country?
Well,
anywhere.
Let's just say in general. How do you think it is to travel as a woman? Is it good? Is it bad?
Well, like this. You need to have the developed sixth sense.
Ah, okay.
So you need to know, you need to trust your guts. If you see this person is not quite all right, you know, and don't go with this person.
Okay, yep. Good advice.
If you're hitchhiking and the person is looking like this, up and down towards you, so he's checking your body.
Yes.
He doesn't watch. He doesn't see you as traveler who he's going to help to reach closer to the place he goes. But he will look you as a woman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A woman for potential dating, sex, or whatever.
Yeah.
So you don't go with this person.
Okay.
The person who tells you you're beautiful, you don't go with this person. Because you don't know what this person might do. Because, look, if someone is, if someone have problem with, like, rape or something, when you hear their stories, they never happen like this guy just jumped on them out of nowhere, out of the blue, and raped them. No, it was always, like, step by step, you know, they try to first get it willingly, and then when they see that you're not going to give them what they want, then they're going to try more aggressively, right?
Right.
Until at the end, and you will think, no, they're not going to rape me. But no, you shouldn't think like this. You should put your safety in the first place. So as soon as someone tell you are beautiful, don't respond with thank you. Wait until you pass the gas station, until you come close to some gas station, and tell him just, sorry, I have to go to bathroom. Then when he stop in the gas station, there is a bunch of people there, so he is not going to harm you.
Uh-huh.
But you cut this in beginning, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So you didn't have, you didn't give him time to, you know, develop his flirting skills and this, and then at the end when you reject him, when he knows he's rejected, that he's going to rape you, maybe. Mm. So you didn't give him time for that.
Yeah, so you just take your stuff and go?
Yeah, so, okay. But naturally, you just don't do it. Like, that he see that it's because he told you you are beautiful or because, you know.
Mm. So you just say,
he might see and he might not stop.
Okay.
Okay? So tell him, just pretend like everything is okay and tell him, I have to go to bathroom. Is it okay if you stop? Then when he stop, you take your bag and you say, sorry, I was traveling for a long time. I'm just going to stretch my legs for a while and then I'll find another car. You can go. Mm. So not something bad that he gets angry and not stop or hit you or curse you or something.
Understand. So then he can drive away and he just goes, oh,
all
okay.
Politely.
Yeah, wow. Damn. How did you just know this automatically or did you learn it along the way?
I have good sense of things, what should I do at the moment.
Uh-huh.
So just when something happened like me, for me, that someone tell me that I'm beautiful, I just think like, okay, what am I going to do now? We are passing the gas station. I'm going to tell him to stop for the bathroom.
Okay.
And then I figure it out in the way. So I tell him for the bathroom. And then I was like, okay, how am I going to use excuse to take my luggage? Okay, I was hitchhiking for a long time. I'm going to stretch my legs. So he can go and I will stretch my legs. But I will not really stretch the legs. As soon as he's gone, I'm going to ask other person,
sure.
Is he going? Yeah.
Wow, that's great advice. So, along those lines, okay, I didn't ask you what your favorite country was, but maybe I can ask you another, like, one of the normal questions people ask. So, how about you?
Are my parents worried?
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't ask that either. But
and like,
or your mom, is she worried about you?
Yeah, she was crying when I left, but after a year and a half. She get used to it, and she tell me, if I throw you in the cage with lions, you would stay alive. She gave me to travel when I was 14 by myself.
Okay.
My parents, they went in the police station, and they signed a paper for me, which allows me to travel, to cross the borders alone, without any supervision, when I was 14. Nowadays, parents don't let their children even pee alone,
right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
But I think I got tough because of that, because my parents had a lot of trust. They give me many times to go out by myself, to travel by myself.
Mm.
When I was very young, like 4, 5, 6, I was playing without supervision.
Right.
Outside.
Huh.
When I was 14, I traveled alone to the other countries.
Damn.
And
you've had quite a life.
Yeah. So I think all these things make me independent and good in finding out stuff, you know, by myself.
Yeah. Yeah, you can really go anywhere.
Mm.
Damn.
I think early, how you treat your children is very important.
Okay.
Because if you don't give them anything without any supervision, they're just going to be, I don't know, lost. They because you will not be always there for them.
Yeah, okay.
So what they will do later.
Mm, right. Yeah, it's very important. I mean, Katie's told me her parents gave her more and more independence too.
Mm.
Not as much as you, but a little more as she got older.
Mm.
Same with me, I guess. But I grew up in such a different era. It wasn't that long ago, but like no, there wasn't an internet and no one had phones and there wasn't any of this stuff. So I don't know. You had to be more aware of your surroundings like 20, 30 years ago than you do now. I don't know.
I think from the phones and from all technology, I have headache, and I'm editing these videos, I'm making them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when I didn't do videos, because in the beginning I didn't do any videos, I traveled much faster, and now it weighed me down.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me about these videos. What are they?
Well, about different countries, but I have so many recorded videos that I still didn't edit and posted. Right. I'm trying to work on them and to post them as much as I can.
So time-consuming.
Yeah, it's very much.
Wow.
And it hurts when I put all this time and effort into making it, and then there is people who don't watch it, who prefer watching stupid videos that anyone can make.
Right. Hmm? Yeah, like picking their nose or picking their ear, whatever. Yeah. Exactly. I know. That's... It bothers me too. So that's, well, I haven't done much with video, but like this podcast, you know, some episodes, hardly anyone downloads it. Luckily, this isn't that much work, so I'm willing to keep doing it, and it's really fun. But I've done some other stuff where, like, I wrote a couple books and spent a long time on that, and I know it's a little disappointing when not too many people care. It does suck. I'm not sure how to deal with that either. But at least you're still doing it for now.
I mean, I like to learn different. And whenever I meet someone who doesn't, who like to watch stupid things, I ask them why you like to watch stupid things. Like, you know, these shows, I don't know, in Serbia it's very, very popular, where they put a bunch of people in the house. And they can't go out.
Oh, Big Brother, maybe?
For a couple of months. Yeah, like Big Brother, but... In Serbia, we had Big Brother. And then we have now... It involved in something very vulgar, very bad. Where they're fighting. Like, with Big Brother, at least they have some tasks. They were polite. They didn't swear as much. Now they're breaking a lot of laws. They put Serbian flag in the floor and they dance naked in this. And I can't put Serbian flag even in my house because it's forbidden by the law. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the flag without the...
Oh, without the pole?
Without the pole you can have in the house. But they had a flag with the pole in the floor in this TV show. And they were dancing naked. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why I can't have the flag with the pole in my house?
God.
And you can dance naked in the TV.
Right.
And not be... not be fined by that.
It's just getting attention, I guess. Yeah. Oh, yeah, why don't they get fined?
So...
Maybe they have a big roll of money to give the police.
Yeah, but this shouldn't be... It's forbidden by law to be in the TV.
Yeah, all right.
And people like watching that. Huh. I'm like, why you're watching this? Why you're not watching some educational program, some documentary, discovery, something, you know? You can learn from. And they're like, so I want to see this to know how people can be assholes, until which limit they can be assholes, you know?
Okay.
I'm like, why you need to watch this to know? Like, I'm traveling around the world and I don't have problem with asshole people because I hardly meet any of them.
Right.
So why is this important? It's not important. You can, you know.
Right. Well, you've seen yourself. So much though.
Don't make. They like watching other people's lives instead of building their own.
Right.
Build yourself.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, so what if I watch the History Channel, for example? In which history I should believe? There's so many versions of everything, you know?
Okay.
Which is true. But still, like, not knowing anything. I mean, you know, there is a lot of versions of... They always discover some stuff, like, for example, now we find out that this is this, and now we find out that this is not this. It's actually that. But this is how science should work. You can't know everything.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So they have to discover, and then inform you. And then, you know, it's interesting to follow and to watch. And at least you can watch, like, about other cultures, what people live in different places. There is many, many, like, I don't know, many educational programs that it's very interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. And are you recording your videos in Serbian or in English?
No, in English. Oh, it's okay. In English, and then I put subtitles in English and in Serbian.
Oh, okay. Wow, this is so people languages. Can watch those too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What's your channel called?
Serbian Traveler.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking maybe to change the name, but I'm not sure. Maybe 365 Traveler, or I don't know. I don't know what.
You have to search.
I want to give some like unique and different name.
We'll have to brainstorm that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Serbian Traveler is cool. It's like you're Serbian and you're a traveler.
Yeah.
It tells you a lot already.
Yeah.
Now, do you spell that with one L or two? The word traveler.
Traveler with one.
Okay, that's the American way.
Even though if you put two L's, I think it will pop out.
Oh, okay. Because that's a word that they spell differently in Britain versus America.
Yeah, and I find that weird. Like, when I was in Jamaica and I say to people, like, my channel Serbian Traveler, they would always type it with two L's.
Right, yeah.
And then they wouldn't find my channel immediately, but little bit scroll down.
Oh, okay.
But because few people do this, now even if you put two L's, my channel will pop
still
out
works.
First.
Okay.
Yeah, because many people type it like this, and then they find me later.
Yeah.
Down, when they scroll. So when they click and YouTube generates, like, okay, when they type Serbian Traveler even with two L's, they are searching for this person, so we are going to give them information in the beginning, yeah.
Right.
So it pops out.
And are these, is this one way that you make money through these videos, or is it not quite there yet?
Well, not. No. I still haven't started making money out of them. I'm thinking to do some live videos as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like if someone has some questions, to interact with people and speak with the audience.
Good idea.
But I need to download something for streaming or something like this. I have to ask my brother about that.
Yeah, you should, because I'm the wrong person to ask. Mm. But I know, like, Facebook has live videos and Instagram.
Yeah, but you need to download a special program that will generate immediately your video into the YouTube video.
It's probably not too hard, right? Oh, to transfer it to YouTube. Right. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So I think when I start doing that, I would make schedule. So when people who are following me, they will get notified, like, this person, Serbian Traveler, will make live video in this time.
Yeah. Okay.
And then people can just come and watch me, ask me any question, you know.
That's great.
Or tell me any interesting facts. Or.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. You could do one in each country even, or periodically. Mm. Yeah, I like it.
I think. So I would suggest people to follow me, because I'm going to make a lot of videos that are educational and good. They can learn, and it's interesting.
Awesome. Are you anywhere else, just YouTube or Facebook or Instagram?
I have Facebook and Instagram as well, Serbian Traveler.
Oh, Serbian Traveler also. Mm. Okay. Cool. Okay, I'll find the link to all those and put them up in the show notes for this podcast.
Okay.
So maybe some people will go check it out.
Thank you.
But this has been an awesome conversation. You're a really inspirational person. I mean, I hope other people I hope you reach other people that, especially people who want to travel and just don't know what it's like, because you've seen so much and done so much, and you're traveling on. Serbia's not in the EU, right? So it's not the greatest passport. I mean,
wow, we have very good passport.
It's
actually
good, but oh, okay. So, because if you're from some countries, it's just so hard to go anywhere. It sucks. Mm. But
you have like around 120 countries without visa.
Oh, okay. So that's really good.
Yeah.
But you're traveling on a really low budget, hitchhiking. Mm. sleeping anywhere. Like,
yeah,
that's great. And you've been going for years. So it's been a just total pleasure to meet you. I'm really glad that we got connected through somebody in Beijing, that we, like a friend of a friend connected us. Mm. So
thank you so much. And thank you so much for everything, for sleepover, for food, for good company.
Thanks once again to Miljana for coming on the show, and thank you all for listening. Once again, I'm just going to read off the PayPal site where you can contribute to Miljana if you're interested in helping her out. Again, even just small amounts would be really, really appreciated by her. It's pierrestatue@gmail.com. And her YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook channels are all Serbian Traveler, and Traveler spelled with one L. And you can also go to my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. And I'm going to put up all kinds of links to stuff we talked about today and to Miljana's online presence, and maybe even a link to a YouTube video or two of her. Thanks again, and I'll catch you next time.